It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.
Thanks for joining us on the Game Podcast Bonus. And with me this week, delighted to be with Julian Lawrence. Julian, I wanted to obviously on the weekend we marked the passing of Sócrates, the great Brazilian midfielder. And one of the things that struck me he was known for was he was somebody who had a very strong sort of a very intelligent man, but also somebody who had very strong political views. He, as you may know, at the time that he was playing in Brazil, there was a military dictatorship that was slowly transitioning towards democracy, but clearly not quickly enough for a lot of people, especially a lot of people on the left, the way Sócrates was. First of all, I wanted to get from you, Sócrates spoke about how he kind of felt it was his responsibility as a popular footballer, a guy who clearly had a soapbox, who could address the people. It was his responsibility to speak out on such issues. Does a player have a responsibility simply because they're famous? Or do they only have a responsibility if they're famous and also intelligent?
Yeah, I think that's when they probably at least feel more sense of responsibility, when they actually have a brain, which is quite rare in football those days. But obviously, you know, like you said earlier in the podcast itself, no one will ever come as close as Sócrates in terms of the way he was off the pitch as well, and everything he's done for the people of his country. In French football, yeah, maybe Cantona could come in a way a bit close to Sócrates, because he's always been very much involved. He's always spoke his mind. You know, recently he asked everybody in France to take all their money off the banks because they were the bad people.
So if I want to jump in on this, I can see the Cantona-Sócrates comparison, the look, the sort of philosopher. But Sócrates said intelligent things.
Yeah.
Everybody simply causing a run on the bank by removing their money from the bank is not an intelligent thing to say. It's a dangerous and...
Yeah, I mean, has Cantona actually said... Though. It was political. And I mean, you know, Cantona was never afraid to... Right or wrong, but was never afraid to speak his mind up and say stuff, even if they were stupid.
But obviously, what are some of the examples of the intelligent things, intelligent political things Cantona said?
That the French manager when he played was a piece of no, more seriously. No, but I get your point. Obviously, Cantona was not a doctor. He was not, you know, he didn't graduate in philosophy. He tried to be a philosopher, but he was nowhere near. But I was just trying to find someone in the modern world, you know, modern football. So after...
Well, Manu Petit has been quite outspoken, right?
Yeah, he's been outspoken. He's taking position. Obviously, the main one we've got is Lilian Thuram, who, in a way, maybe you can compare more to Sócrates, because, you know, he took position for people, you know, especially for immigrant people in France, for black people in France, for poor people as well. He's done things. He was part of an ethical committee of the French Federation to make, you know, people and in football and off football as well more equal to themselves. So Thuram was, in a way, our Sócrates. But, you know, as I think those kind of people are getting more and more rare in football, and it's a shame.
Is that because, I mean, you saw here in England, there aren't many who've come out with that. I'm always struck by the fact that it seems that, you know, Joey Barton and Rio Ferdinand via Twitter, they come as close as anybody to saying political things or things that go beyond that. And I always sort of wonder, like, when we... It seems to me in this country, you know, certainly compared to the continent, you're not encouraged to talk about politics or indeed social issues. Like, there's a time and a place for it. And I kind of feel that, you know, when I have spoken to footballers in this country, even intelligent ones, that, you know, if I'd asked them about politics, they would have looked at me as if, you know, I had three heads. Is that the sense you get over here? Should the media be asking these people? Should they be sharing their opinions voluntarily?
Yeah, I think they should. You know, I think it's not because you're a player that you don't have good opinions either. But, you know, something really funny is the French team that went to the World Cup, I know it was a disaster, but amongst the 23 players, only one took a book to the actual World Cup. The others had their iPad, their Nintendo DS, whatever you wanted. Just one, Johan Gourcuff, had a book. Just those players now don't read.
Malouda didn't have a book.
Didn't have a book.
But he had a Kindle, I bet.
No Kindle. He had that, his Nintendo DS. No book. And, you know, when Thuram was a player, after training, he used to come home and read. And that's how, you know, he learned things and everything. And Socrates was the same. Today, they play Call of Duty all day long after training, or Mario Kart, or whatever, or FIFA 2012. And this is it. You know, the players today, because they don't want to, or, you know, they're not clever enough, they just don't want to have, you know, knowledge, to learn things. And then, if you know, without that, they can't speak about current issues, they can't speak about problems, they can't, you know, speak about politics and things like that. And I think maybe at clubs now, the younger players should be educated in a way that there's more than football and, you know, computer games and things like that. And I think maybe as soon as the academies in football clubs, they should teach their players to maybe do a bit more, you know, when they're not training, to just educate themselves.
Do you think footballers today are less educated than, say, when
completely,
you were playing?
Completely. It's rare now. I did a piece the other day in France about that Auxerre player who actually had his A-level. But they're so rare in France now to play professional football and having passed their A-levels. All of them have stopped school at 14 or 15. You know, and someone like Aubertin, for example, at Newcastle, has his A-levels, and he's a bright guy, and he's a bright kid. But it's so rare now, and I do believe they're very much less educated. They don't really care about anything else but, you know, their own little life and their football and their money.
I sometimes get the sense that those footballers who do speak out on anything to do with politics, that unless they touch upon two or three very basic issues that we can all agree in, like unless they talk about, you know, no racism, no violence, you know, fight poverty, as soon as, if they ever stray outside of that, those very basic messages that I think, you know, everybody would embrace, then all of a sudden we tend to view them for suspiciously, especially footballers on the right. It's funny because I bet that the vast majority, certainly of English footballers, probably vote on the right, and not just because of taxes. And yet I have never heard anybody, not one, come out and make an argument in that sense. Maybe in fact, most footballers everywhere. Very rarely do you... It seems that the only footballers who are given... whose views are given any room when they come up are those who are on the left when they're sort of romantic figures. But even then, it's not really left. It's like the vague sort of peace and love argument. And on the right, if they ever say anything out of line, then they're, you know, fascists and they're ugly and we should, you know, lock them in a cellar some way. I mean, am I excessive on this?
Or no, I mean, you're right. And you know, it's funny because do you see many footballers after their career, when they've retired, go into politics? it's really rare, but you do see other sportsmen, you know, like Lord
Sebastian Coe.
But you know what? Yeah, obviously, right. That's the obvious name. But it's the same in France. We have David Douillet, who used to be a judo, you know, Olympic champion and everything, who's now our sports minister. And it happens in all the other sports, but in football. So it's either they're too thick, or they don't lie enough to be politicians, right. Or they're not good enough at lying to be politicians, or maybe it doesn't interest them. And like you, I know loads of football players who don't vote.
Well, I remember David Beckham came out in a famous interview and said, you know, he didn't vote. Although he did get political on it, he said he was very much in favor of gay rights and had plenty of gay friends and so on.
I've heard him as well saying that that he was doing some homeworks with his kids and that the way they teached them went not the same as when he was a kid, obviously.
Do you think in England it's coming? I mean, I was thinking about that, you know, former athletes who've gone into politics. Obviously, we have our own example here at the Times and Matthew Syed,
yeah.
You know, former Olympian who ran for the House of Commons. But do you think it's to do with the old sort of bugbear where certainly compared to countries on the continent, again, the vast majority of English players tend to come from working class backgrounds, whereas on the continent, it's much more spread out socioeconomically.
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem. Look at Thuram, you know, like really, really working class background. Never knew his dad. You know, mum working on her own. You know, raising the kids. But he still managed to even want, as a player to educate himself on his own because you know he never really went to school. Stopped school early. Didn't have any degrees. But he wanted to. And I think when you want to, when you have the will to learn to educate yourself, you know, you can.
Well, is it more the mindset then in England that you're just not supposed to talk about those things?
Yeah, maybe it's part of the culture. Yeah, maybe you know people know their footballers so well now that it's better not asking them any sort of question that way and let them just talk about their football. It's funny because look at Joey Barton. It's a good example you took. He seems to have, you know, turned people's opinions through Twitter and other things, you know, about who he really is, and it was a completely different image than the image he seemed to have before.
Well, my personal view. Hasn't really changed my view. It just seems like he learned to read and started reading.
Yeah, but at least he's showing it.
Yeah, he is showing an interest, yeah.
Others. I mean, you know, we won't name names, but there are players in the Premier League today who are struggling to read and write. And that's, you know, that shouldn't be happening. And not only in football, but, you know, shouldn't be an adult now and not being able to read and write.
I want to finish up by taking the conversation back to Socrates, who... When he talked in 1982 at the World Cup, Italy beat Brazil 3-2 in a match that Brazil, you know, sort of they only needed a draw. They kept attacking and they played wonderful football, but in the end they didn't finish and so on and they went out. And Socrates said something afterwards along the lines of, but the point of the game isn't to win. The point of the game is to play. The point of the way of the game is to create. And we certainly feel as if we did that today, even though, you know, we're now going home. And I wonder about that. I mean, that sort of sense has clearly gone out of football entirely. We do have an appreciation for the aesthetic, I think, and it is an enduring one. But, you know, it is results that obviously are paramount, and it's been that way for a while. Is that maybe one of the things that makes it different from say, music or the arts? Where, you know, musicians and artists are far more political, far more outspoken. The fact that there is no end result to what they do, whereas there is in football, and so people pull back a little bit.
Yeah, and you know what? I would have loved to know what Socrates was thinking about football nowadays, just before he died, because it was definitely not the same sport as the one he used to play. He used to play football as a game, like you've just said, you know, and
well, you can know. I read one of his recent articles, and he talked about, and it sort of tied back to what he did as a player when he was at Corinthians. He sort of organized the team into a collective,
right.
Where they all made decisions together about when the train and so on, and it was sort of, you know, pure sort of communist society. But he did say that, you know, football was probably the most reactionary part of society, and I think it's certainly hard to argue with that. I mean, I think you will find many, many more people, you know, on the right with those sorts of views within football, and not just players, sort of club officials, owners. Bizarrely, it's actually less so managers. If anything, it's for some reason, I think maybe managers, because they have a slightly different contact with people, that there are probably more, it's more spread out between managers of the left and managers of the right. But certainly, I think the players and the owners, fundamentally, it is a reactionary right-wing world. And I think in that sense, Socrates was right.
But you know what? I would have liked to know what he thought about the French strike at the World Cup last year, because in a way, it was a very strong political act, you know, to go and strike and say, okay, we're not getting off that coach. But the way they did it and the way they've instrumentalized it was ridiculous. Yeah, and instead of being something that people could have said, oh yeah, look, you know, they stood up for themselves, whatever, we actually shamed ourselves. Yeah, but I would have really liked to know what, you know, as a communist man, what Socrates would have made of, you know, as a player going on strike and not wanting to train and to get off a bloody coach at a World Cup. Surely he would have been outraged, or, you know, I don't know. I would have liked to know his, because that's the political act by definition.
Well, thankfully, through the magic of Google, we can go back and find out what he thought. I honestly don't know, but now you've piqued my interest. I'll definitely go back and check it. Julien Laurens, thanks for joining me on the Game Podcast Bonus.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.